The recording whenever. Welcome to the Sunday night There is a Solution newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Visit our website at oaontario.org where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. We will now introduce our speaker, a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. Please help me welcome Maria Kay, a compulsive overeater from Virginia. Welcome, Maria.
Hi, everybody. My name's Maria. I am a compulsive eater, recovered. And I am coming to you from Northern Virginia by way of Philadelphia. So I was born and raised in Philly. So here we are. I'm a compulsive overeater. What the heck does that mean? I want to qualify a little bit before I get into how I recovered through the steps. So for me, I come from a long line of compulsive eating. So whether that is genetic or it is learned behavior, I think that my sense of ease and comfort in life was introduced to me by food first. And specifically, I was, you know, the kind of a person who has tried to control and enjoy food. I have done it by restricting to control calorie count, to get thin. I have done it by overeating to anesthetize myself. But for me, basically, food for me allows me to be with myself. I am also a recovered alcoholic. Alcohol for me allows me to be with other people. I'm an extrovert by nature. I love people. And food is the great isolator for me. It keeps me padded and comfortable in my resentments and my fears. And I don't really have to, you know, live big when I'm under the addiction of food. And I have all the repercussions from that as well. So what happened to me was, you know, being uncomfortable in my own skin, not really feeling physically like I was okay. I always felt very, very ashamed of being chubby as a kid. I was embarrassed. I was made fun of. And right around the time that I hit adolescence and I really loved people and I wanted to be one of the cool girls and I wanted to have a boyfriend, I found other substances that I could use that allowed me to control and enjoy my food. So that meant that I did not have to anesthetize with my food as much when I was using other ingredients. It doesn't matter because my food addiction does not go away. I will always, always, always be allergic to certain food ingredients. And I will always have a mental obsession that tells me I'm not allergic to food ingredients. And you can have one this time, Maria. Let me show you how. It's going to be fine. And that's how the story goes for me. Very long story short, I came into Overeaters Anonymous first in the early 90s. And Overeaters Anonymous at that point in that tri-state area was very, very much, hey, just weigh and measure a half a cup of pasta. And I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. And I couldn't understand why I couldn't do it. And I would go back to the meeting every week and say, you're telling me that I can have certain amounts of things, but what if I can't? And a woman overheard me and she said, I think the meeting that you want is called How. And it was a sect of Overeaters Anonymous that really focused on very specific foods and a very specific food plan. And that actually allowed me to have freedom from food for the first time in my life, because certain ingredients were not being ingested, the phenomenon of craving was not being ignited. So I had a good 6 years of that kind of recovery where I would go to meetings and I would, you know, really glorify the food plan. I was really worshiping a food plan. I mean, it was black and white abstinence, and it was great. It really did arrest the physical allergy. But as time is going on now, I'm at the 6-year mark of both alcohol and food being down. And I am finding myself really in a state of work addiction. Work has taken over. I don't have time to work with people. I barely have time to pray and meditate. I'm shooting up my prayers in the morning, you know, licking a prayer, kind of praying. And what happened to me was I went to the most beautiful place on earth on a vacation. I was in Spain. And that night, there was a table of sangria out. And how could that hurt me? There's fruit in that. And I picked up the sangria. And by the time dinner was over, I was walking up to the dessert table. And it was all holds barred. Like, I was in unbridled eating for the first time in 6 years. And I was eating flan and, because I'm never going to have that again. I'm in Spain. I have to experience that. And the next morning I was like, whoo, thank God that's over, with my hangover and my brownout of food fog. And I said, I'm just going to get back on track. And surprise, surprise, I was starting to eat some sweetened granola that morning. Lunchtime came. And by the time that trip was over, I had lost my abstinence and I had lost my sobriety, and I was off to the races. And I thought, well, when I get home, I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm going to get back on track. And to my surprise, I couldn't do that. And that led me down a journey of about 8 years until I found the 12 steps as outlined in the big book. And 8 years can put a lot of damage on a human body. I have tried to control my weight and my drinking. I mean, it's all hand in hand for me, but for singleness of purpose, I just want to focus on the food. And I've tried to control that in so many different ways: starvation, medication. I can't even tell you the countless vain attempts that I made to try to get abstinent to no avail. And I couldn't do it. And I just couldn't figure out why, because I was around here for a long time. I had 6 years. I got my food plan. I know what I'm doing. And I could not get relief. I could not get relief. And something happened where I really had a solid step one experience, and it affected every area and every corner of my life. It affected me physically. I had 100 pounds of extra weight on me. It affected me spiritually. I was bankrupt. Also, financially, I lost my business. I lost everything. I lost everything. My relationships were shot. Nobody trusted me, and I was isolating, and I could not get relief. I could not get relief from food. I couldn't get it from alcohol. So I'm just out of control. And I thought to myself, the only time in my life that I've ever got relief was when I was in the rooms. So I came back and I knew exactly what to do, pretty much sponsoring myself. And I was going to do a 90 and 90. And I had my food plan from 1992. It's now, you know, 2013. And I know exactly what I'm going to do. And I'm running ragged, because not only am I in one fellowship, I'm in two fellowships. So I'm doing 90 and 90 in two fellowships, but I don't have a job. So what's the difference? I got nothing else to do. And in about the 60-day mark of being abstinent alone, no step work, because there was no one that really was, it wasn't mentioned. It was, you know, what meetings are you going to? Here, make your 3 phone calls. And it was a very tool-driven way of recovery. And right around, I don't know, it was between 30 and 60 days, I was pulling in. I didn't know where to pull in. I'm either going to pull into a liquor store, pull into a Burger King. My husband knows that one of the huge habits that I had was eating in my car. And he would call me, because we have a find a phone, and he would call me and he would say, are you parked up against the bushes? Which meant I was compulsively eating in my car, sneaky behind bushes in a parking lot somewhere. And that was the behavior that I was seeking. I needed air. It was as if I was underwater and I couldn't breathe and I didn't know what to do. And all I could do was cry out to God saying, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. Why am I not getting relief? What am I supposed to do here? And God speaks to me in music often. And that day he talked to me through a song and I had to stop and I pulled over and I listened to the words and it pretty much had the effect of you don't have to hustle for recovery. You do not have to hustle for this. Let me take care of you. That was the missing piece. There was no God in anything I was doing. And if I was using God, it was one of those, God, keep me abstinent and sober today, please, by the grace of God, please protect my family. It was very selfish praying. There was no relinquishment of surrender. It was all abstinent on Maria power. So what happened shortly after that, when I cried out for help, I did not eat that day. Through the grace of God, I did not eat that day. And I came home and got a phone call from someone who said, hey, do you want to go to this meeting with me in Philly? And I was like, I don't feel like driving up 95. It's going to take an hour to get up there. I don't really want to go. But for some reason, I went. And I had nothing else to do. See, God took everything else out of my life. There was nothing else for me to be distracted by. And I got in the car and I drove up to Philly and I went into this meeting and it was a big book study, a line by line big book study. And I heard a man and a woman breaking down the book line by line. And I was struck by lightning. I had never heard anything like that before. I was hearing things that were paradoxes to what I was taught in the program. Both programs. And I was struck by lightning. I was with a friend and her reaction was exactly the same way, but her reaction being struck by lightning was, I don't know what that was. That's not Alcoholics Anonymous. So I'm out of here. I'm not coming back. I was intrigued. There was something about this message that was connecting dots for me. It was connecting dots for me. And I went back for 5 years until I moved out of that tri-state area and down here to Northern Virginia. And I went to spiritual school. I would tell my family, I'm going to spiritual school. I have my book, my pen, and a highlighter. And it was in an auditorium. So it really felt like I was in spiritual school. So the question that I was asked when asked to speak tonight was, how did I recover through using the steps outlined in the big book? How did I do that? So what happened was I was having a very, very visceral reaction of the reason why I relapsed was finally explained to me in this meeting. And my whole MO, my whole narrative was, I'm not going back to OA. I did that. It doesn't work for me. But really, what I did was I followed a food plan for 6 years and worked the tools. I never really worked the plan outlined in the book. So when I was challenged with some fixed thinking, when I would talk to these people and they would challenge me with, well, Maria, is it possible that you never recovered? And I was like, recovered, here we go. I don't want to get into a debate about recovering versus recovered. I felt like, who are you to say the word recovered? We will never recover from anything. We will always, always have these addictions. And I was showed some very specific things. The very first thing that I was shown was on the cover page of Alcoholics Anonymous, the big book. It has my first promise of hope. And it says the story of how many thousands of men and women have recovered from alcoholism. And surprise, surprise, I find that this program works Overeaters Anonymous works literally exactly the way AA works. It's just a different substance that I am allergic to. Not just alcohol, but now food ingredients. And the very first thing that I had to do was I had to like really do a searching and fearless food inventory. I had to get down to what are you eating that creates this phenomenon of craving? Because from how it was sugar and flour, but there was a couple other ingredients that I was ingesting that I just couldn't quite understand why when I ate certain dairy fat items like cheese or milk or cottage cheese, anything with dairy fat, I would always fudge it on the scale. I would always find myself wanting more. That was never addressed. So not everyone has the same alcoholic ingredients, which is really good to know. But I never challenged my thinking about that. I never did a searching and fearless moral food inventory. So I sat down, and as I'm realizing the imperative, it's imperative that I know in AA that I can't have trace amounts of alcohol. It's so clear to me. It's so easy to me to see. Whether it's beer, wine, whatever the ingredient, if it's alcohol, I can't have any of it. Why am I bending the truth about food? Why don't I want to get real about this food? And in how it works, it says we have to be rigorously honest. And the root word of rigorous is, it's the same as rigor mortis, right? When I die, I'm going to be stiff as a board, right? So when I am asked to be rigorously honest, I'm asked to be unbendingly honest. Do not bend the truth, Maria. And I had to get real about some ingredients that I was not putting down, which was making it hard for me to stay abstinent. Once I had the ingredients down, the food was taken care of. I was not craving, physically craving food. But what was happening, like the day that I was pulling into the drive-thru, to park by the bushes, I had a mental obsession on me. So what happens is I had to understand what those ingredients are. I had to put them down, but I also understood from another point of view now that that is when my problems start. I thought food was going to solve a lot of my problems and the lack of it. Let me put it down and I'll never, ever have to like obsess about it again. But when I put food down, for me, this brings me to a disposition that I've never heard quite accurate as this. I become restless, irritable, and discontent. My restlessness is with me. I cannot be in my own skin. My irritability is my relationship with everyone around me. I want to scratch your eyes out. I'm so agitated and disturbed easily. And my discontented nature is, that's God's world and reality. I'm not happy with the way things are. I like to change things. I like them to suit my needs. I finally get them my way, and then the shine wears off. So if I'm suffering from restlessness, irritability, and discontented nature when I am stone cold abstinent, that tells me that the problem really wasn't food. The problem is spiritual in nature, right? This is my disposition that I have when I'm sober, when I'm abstinent. So my problem is not sobriety and abstinence. It's something else. In the book later, it tells me it's selfishness and self-absorption. And that seems very accurate. So I will never, ever get over these alcoholic ingredients, ever. I will never be cured of my addictions to certain foods and certain behaviors around food, but I can be cured. And yes, I said cured, relieved, recovered one day at a time from the mental obsession that tells me I don't have a physical allergy that will always bring me back to the food for ease and comfort. The doctor's opinion is very, very, very specific about what I'm looking for. It says that I'm restless, irritable, and discontented unless, again, I experience a sense of ease and comfort, which comes at once by taking a few bites that I see others taking with impunity. and after I have succumbed to the desire again. What is succumb? Succumb means yield to a superior force. I am yielding to a force that's more powerful than I am. And that's those food ingredients. But is it really? It says I succumb to the desire. What's the desire? Ease and comfort. This explains a lot for me as a dual addicted woman. It explains why it's whack-a-mole for me. It's not alcohol. It's not food. It's not Klonopin. It's not all the other methods and ways that I've tried to get relief. What I want is ease and comfort. And I know that there's certain things that will get me ease and comfort. And I don't care which one I'm going to use. It's going to be probably the one that's closest at hand. And I need a remedy for that. I need a remedy for that. So if I have this thing, food addiction, compulsive eating, there's only two questions really that are going to tell me if I do or not. And for the newcomers, it's really simple. If you have a copy of the big book, it's on page 44. And it's going to be, if I honestly want to, and I find I cannot quit entirely, all right? So I honestly want to quit eating compulsively or restricting compulsively, and I cannot quit entirely. That means that I have this mental obsession, because I can quit, but what brings me back to it? My head, my decision, my thinking. And then it's asked me, when eating compulsively or restricting, you have little control over the amount you take or the amount you're not taking. You are probably alcoholic. That's a physical allergy indicator. So I had to concede to both facts. I have a physical allergy to certain ingredients and behaviors. I also have a mental obsession. I will never, ever, ever get over the allergy, but I can be relieved of the mental obsession. And that is by doing exactly what this book tells me to do. It tells me I need to have a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. So I took these steps with somebody in AA, but I had the food down and I was able to have a spiritual awakening. And one day I was talking to my friend and I said to her, I haven't thought about food in I don't know when. And she said, really? What step are you on? I said, well, I'm in the middle of my amends. And my sponsor has me doing a practice of practicing step 10, and I'm praying and meditating. And she said, oh, you're probably recovered. And I said, oh my God, here we go with that word again. Why was I bristling? And then she showed it to me in literature. What does it mean to be recovered? And I think that the book can explain it way better than I can. We have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol, even food. For this time, sanity will have returned. Well, in step two, I was told that a power greater than me can restore me to sanity. I guess this is when it happens. Step 10, after I practice step 10, I'm going to be restored to sanity around my thinking around food. And I'm going to seldom be interested in these ingredients. If tempted, we recoil from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally, and we will find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude toward food has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It comes by doing some certain things, the 12 steps. That is the miracle of it. We're not fighting it, nor are we avoiding temptation. That's how I lived my whole life, fighting food, avoiding it. I mean, my relationship needed to be altered. And this is finally where that happened. It says, we feel that we have been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. That is why I came here. And I never knew that that's why I came here. I thought maybe you're going to show me how to control food, or how I'm going to like be able to do a point system and have a little bit at a time. But I know I can't have trace amounts now. How do I live with restless, irritable, and discontent? I have to have the problem removed. It doesn't exist for us. We are neither cocky nor we are afraid. That is our experience. That is how we react, so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. And then I was like, wow, oh my gosh, I love this book. Like, this is really what's happening. And she's like, yes, there's a timeline. There's directions that we take these we do the directions and the timeline it tells us, then if we're on the right track, it's going to give me promises and I can check myself. Am I in alignment with the promises? She said, but wait, don't get too excited because there's a warning that follows. And I love the death threats, the warnings, because it tells me also, it confirmed where I fell short last time, but also tells me why I want to stay in this work. Why do I want to take my medicine of spirituality today? It says, it's easy to let up on the spiritual program of action. That means action. I've got to do things against my will. I cannot do the same old, because if nothing changes, nothing changes, but my abstinent date will. So I have to be on the spiritual program of action and not rest on my past work. I'm headed for trouble if I do, because food is a subtle foe. We're not cured of food addiction. I will never, ever get over the physical allergy to that. I'm part of the 10%. Point blank. I just come from a long line of them. I'm made up that way. I'm never going to overcome that. I'm part of the 10%. But what I really have is a daily reprieve contingent upon the maintenance of my spiritual condition. Every day is a day when I must carry the vision of God's will into all my activities. How can I serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. And these are thoughts which must go with us constantly. So my prayer life now is starting to turn into ceaseless prayer. 24 hours a day, one day at a time. In fact, that's what one day at a time means. It doesn't mean one day at a time, I'm going to battle food and I'm going to follow my food plan and I'm going to come out a winner if I can put my head on the pillow and not eat an extra green bean. You know, that's not what one day at a time means. It means ceaseless prayer. I wake up, there's something I do. I'm confused. I know exactly how to talk to God now. This whole program has taught me how to wean myself off of myself. I can't fix the problem with the same thinking that I've always had. And it's taught me through prayer how to pray unselfishly. And when I remove myself out of this equation and you guys get bigger and God is the focus, I have a fighting chance here. I have a fighting chance. I was fighting the wrong enemy the whole time. I was fighting me, the food, follow the food plan. I can't do that. Lack of power is my dilemma. It's not lack of knowledge. It's not lack of doctors, medication, food plans, ideas, exercise. I mean, you name it. It's like a million things that I used, but none of that was going to be useful. It was power that I needed. And by arriving at step 10, I can actually start feeling power coursing through. Whole program here is of subtraction. If I don't get rid of things, I am a vessel that is clogged. I'm blocked. And I am blocked by all the noise in my head, all my perceived problems, my self-importance, my worship of other things like alcohol when I'm abstinent and I'm still worshiping. How can you be abstinent and still drink alcohol? That doesn't make sense to me, but I did it. Taking all the pharmaceuticals that I took, the worship of money, power, prestige, the drive to succeed was on for me. So everything I was putting before God, I couldn't keep. Everything. I told you in the beginning, I was bankrupt. Everything was taken away. And I think it was the only way that my higher power was going to get my attention. It worked for me. But, you know, this is going to be ceaseless prayer now. What I do in the morning, what I do at night, what I do during the day, all day long, when it says, how can I serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are thoughts which must go with us constantly. Already step two has occurred. I've been restored to sanity around food. And now in step three, I was told that I had to turn my thoughts and my actions over to God. And all of a sudden here, we have this curious sentence. It says, we can exercise our willpower. I thought I had to turn that over forever. says, we can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It is the proper use of the will. So this is just fat. It still gives me goosebumps. My job is to align my will with the will of God, right? Line of the will. Am I connected? Am I tethered? Am I one with the creator? Maybe I'm a co-creator. Maybe I have to be in on this. He gave me brains to use. And now all of a sudden, if I polish them up with God's love, God's way of thinking, now I can go out into the world and use my brains. Who knew? Who knew? This is very empowering. There's nothing that is so empowering as when I am God conscious. When I have God consciousness, it's freedom. I'm a free range compulsive overeater. I can go anywhere in this world. Anybody else can go without being afraid that the food's in the parking lot doing push-ups waiting for me to come out. That's bullshit. Sorry for my language.
Gentle reminder. So,
what's that?
Gentle reminder, it's time.
Thank you. So I talked about step 11. My prayer and meditative life is all the other steps combined created step 10. When I put it into that neat package, it allowed me to stay a hollow bone so that God can work in and through me. All to get me here to step 11, where I have conscious contact. Now I'm an awakened spirit. Now I'm talking all day long to my power, all day long to my creator. And I'm really, really coming to rely upon that. And it seems to me like the whole purpose of that was to arrive to this awakened experience to only be signed up for the team. How, God, where do I go? Who do I talk to? What do I say? Every day I'm waking up. My bankrupt situation is healed. I have the availability to work with women all day long if I wanted to. And I have to be careful that I don't do that because I don't want to, it's not meant for that. But I have the ability. I have been saved from food addiction and alcoholism, and I can help. I am uniquely, divinely crafted to help other people that have the same problem. And if you're not feeling that inspiration, that inner pull to go do that, there's something missing, because I think it's the whole purpose of the program. The whole purpose of the program is to get me signed up for the team and helping God's other kids. So when it says, it's a line in the book that says we have recovered and been given the ability to heal others, like that's miraculous. And I'm so grateful that I walked into that meeting. I am so grateful that I was introduced to the big book in a way that was, I read the big book for 6 years in that abstinence. I read it all the time. I never took it as a textbook. I never thought it was meant to be accurately taken, followed. I never thought that there were promises and warnings in there. I thought it was pie in the sky, spiritual fluff. That's what I thought. And needless to say, that is not what I found. I am recovered one day at a time through this program, and I'm so grateful. Thank you for letting me be here to share with you. I am really like just so excited that there's newcomers here. And if you're a returning member, there's life after relapse. Relapse is not something that has to be, for me, relapse was necessary. I was not going to stay abstinent on the bullshit program that I was running and working. Now, I submit myself to the steps and the steps work me. So that's all I got, I think. Thank you so much for letting me be here.